Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast.
Come on. Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I am the host of It's Everything West Texas. Today, we have an interesting guest, Marie David. She is going to be talking. She is with Altars and Ashes. She'll be talking with us in just a few minutes when we come back. Today, this program is being brought to you by Floyd E. Miller Investments.com, helping individuals make smart investment decisions, and the West Texas Tribune, real news, local news, at westtexastribune.org. Welcome to the program, Marie.
Thank you, Floyd.
I'm so happy to have you today. I think that you have a very interesting topic, one that maybe people have thought about, or maybe they have not thought about. But first, I want you to just tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable talking about.
Okay. Well, I got my degree here in Hardin-Simmons, at Hardin-Simmons in Abilene, back in 88. So a long time ago. My major was fine arts. Concentration in ceramics. And so art has always been a huge part of my life. I since then have just gravitated more towards sculpture and less towards pottery for the most part of that. But I would say not a straightforward path as far as a career in the arts. I've worked as a restoration artist. I worked for a nonprofit art center in Colorado Springs. Done a lot of things around the arts, but mainly my life has been about raising my five children, and I lived the last 20 years in Colorado Springs and recently returned around 2020 to take care of my mother.
Okay, well, that's definitely a noble thing to take care of your mother and to be able to do that. I'm sure that is something that she appreciates. Now, you have this company called Altars and Ashes. What is that all about?
So, I lost my brother in 2006.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and my father in 2017. So my father had come to live with me and he and my mother, at the end of his life for the last year. And my experience in caring for the dying, my brother, my father, was, you know, I just had such a profound impact on me. Not just the care, but that stage, that end stage, was a lot of work, you know, but also I'd say it was just, you know, you're working in that liminal space between life and death where there's also a lot of miracles. And just the way it affected me just made me want to learn more about that space. So I, after my father's death, got a certificate as an end-of-life doula, and I worked for this company called Conscious Dying Institute as their executive director for a couple of years, mainly in the education part of it and the marketing part of it, because what it did was strike a calling and a passion in me to connect with other people that had gone through similar experiences and wanted to understand more about that space.
You said that you are end of life doula. Could you explain that, exactly what that means?
Doula does is help support the dying and the family to understand the needs of the dying and to comfort and care and guide in that space, not as a medical support, but as just as a someone who's been there and knows that path. And much like women typically support women through the birth process, before, during, and after, an end-of-life doula does the same. She supports before, during, and after death, and giving the dying and the family guidance and support.
Well, you know, when a child is coming into this world, there is a lot of anticipation, and I think for the most part, a lot of joy and a lot of looking forward. So is there, on the end of life, is there joy or can there be joy? What have you seen in,
yeah,
that, in
I think,
that space?
I think that's like, I think that's one thing that people feel uncomfortable about is that joy that you feel in that space. I think because it strips away what we're kind of culturally programmed to fear death, to fight death, to not go, you know, to escape it somehow. But it is a part of life. You're born and you die, and that there's no escape from that. So if you can go into it as a life event, it has its gifts. It holds such beautiful gifts. It strips away all the things that don't matter in everyday life. And it's just, it can be a very beautiful time. And I'm not saying it's like that for everybody, but it is a possibility.
Okay, so why do people come to you at this stage? I mean, what is the, I suppose, maybe besides just knowing they're dying, I mean, what makes a person say, you know, I need to talk with somebody about this process?
Like, again, just like birth, there was a time where we trusted the medical community to tell us how we're going to birth, how that process goes. So the same with end of life, that there's a lot of choices you have. You have choices, you know, in how you want your experience. What's going to be most important to you? Is it having family around you? Is it being at home? Is it being unmedicated? Is it, you know, it gives you choice. And I think that's one thing. The other thing is understanding, learning to see it as a normal process and not a failure. That dying is not a failure. I think those are, by examining your own fears and examining, you know, not if I didn't know what it was going to be like going into childbirth, I would be scared. You know, you're scared going into it, even if you know what to expect. But if you have somebody that can companion you through that process and companion your family through that process, you're not as afraid of what you could have done or should have done or that you could have prevented this, but that this is a natural process. There is a way to do this where we don't have as much anxiety and, you know, the fear around it.
All right. Well, so, of course, without naming names, what are some of the things that I guess you would call them your clients? What are some of the things that maybe they have learned going through that process?
I am. Probably that, more than anything, just acceptance, you know, that to be open to what comes up in that place, the grief, you know, the fears, that all of it, that, you know, that there's not a right way to do it, that I think it's just, you know, when I've worked with people, it's just about having somebody to talk about. Like you said, one of the things, like, could you feel joy in that space? You know, there's people that have felt, you know, when in the process of the death, that, you know, the relief and the experience of, you know, that letting go, or the things that happen around, you know, the death in that immediate space, that, you know, that acknowledging the miracles, acknowledging that there's what they experienced, even though it seemed outside of, you know, the normal realms of, you know, what we say is reality, that those things, you know, the experiences are, you know, they are part of reality. They are what, you know, these are real experiences that people have. Like, you know, for myself personally, with the death of my father, I had his caregiver was there giving him a shave, and my granddaughter and I were going through the process of, you know, bathing and dressing, and it was a beautiful experience and a beautiful space. But the one thing I noticed in my father's face was it you know, I say it felt to me like he was smiling. The caregiver said, you know, yes, he is smiling. He said, you know, not everybody smiles after, but, you know, he was at peace, and you could see it in his face. And for me, that felt like, you know, we went through that process and that journey together, and that he wasn't alone, you know?
Okay, so you help people through the process. Now, I know that you work with pottery. Does this play any role with getting people through that process? Or what is that all about?
I guess the idea came from the fact that I felt like I was on two different paths, you know, the artist and the end of life. And what I've realized is that it's always been both. I've made my work has not always been about, you know, just beauty and happiness. It's about these thresholds that we pass through that are not always easy, and you know, maybe just processing my own grief, but also that I've made countless urns throughout my lifetime for other people as gifts or ways of helping them have something a lot more personal and about, you know, with the legacy of their loved one, you know, that has passed, and giving them comfort, and, you know, knowing that their resting place, or their, you know, whether it's like a memorial or piece, or a cremation piece, that it's personal.
And so you can make those for individuals, but can family also get involved in,
yes,
making it for their loved ones?
Yes.
So, and I guess this is just an opinion, but from what you've seen in working with people in this space, what is it that you think the dying wants at this particular time as they're leaving this world? What do you think they want?
I think for the dying, a lot of times they just want to feel that their life had meaning, that you know, that they made a difference. Mm-hmm. Could be very small, it didn't have to be big, but you know, that they made a difference.
And how do you feel like your service help those that have to continue to go on after that loved one leaves him?
I think that what it gives people is a sense of, you know, that sense of that they were present, that they, you know, I think if a lot, you know, it's sometimes because we don't know what to say or what to do with death, around death, you know, that sometimes we just fail to show up. And, you know, a lot of times I think the gift is for those that do show up, it gives them a sense of fulfillment, completion. But also, I think it also, like for me personally, you know, the way it has affected me is that I feel like I want to live a more intentional life. And it's not just about all the day-to-day concerns that, you know, we feel like are so important, but, you know, just the ability to take time and sit with someone else's grief or sit with someone else's pain and not do anything about it, you know, just to be able to be present. And, you know, it's just learning that.
I saw on your website something about a 3-month, I don't think it was called.
It's called the a best 3 months of life vision planning.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about that. Some of the things that might be in there, or that a person would hope would be in there when that's completed.
The best 3 months vision planning is a coaching session. I think 5 parts go through, just an interview, contemplating, you know, the emotional, spiritual, physical, practical, and mental realms, just kind of breaking things down into smaller parts instead of just looking at my whole life, you know. And then we, in that process, examine, you know, where we are right now in our current reality and where we want, what our vision, with the idea that if we only had 3 months to live, what would be most important? What would affect your decision-making right now of where you are right now and where you would want to be in 3 months? And so as you go through that process, it helps people to create an order of importance of what really matters most. And it gives you action steps to take, which you identify for yourself. And then the final product is an actual vision map, which identifies your current reality, the action steps you're going to take to get to that completion of your vision. And it's probably a great process for anybody to go to at any stage, and certainly, you know, well before you're dying, it's, it gives, it does, you know, like one of those, I think it's Stephen Jenkinson said, you know, the, one of the number one dying wish is more time. And if we were to think about this as our more time, our life right now, not when we have, you know, a diagnosis or something, you know, huge to face, that if we realize that right now, today, this is our more time, what would we do with that, you know?
Okay, so it seems like that 3-month program that you talk about prepares a person to live, and it also prepares them to die from the standpoint of, this is kind of what you want to be doing when the end comes, whenever that might be. So like you said, that's something that would probably be a great exercise for everybody to go through. Mm-hmm. Tell me one of your success stories on someone that was going through this end of the life process. Again, of course, no names, but just, if you can, maybe think about a situation or an individual that you feel like really helped. I'm not saying that it does not help everybody, but I'm just thinking maybe there's something you can share with the audience.
Wow. I think there's a lot of practical tools for comfort care. Those are simple things. But like I said, I think just being able to sit with and listen to another person's discomfort, you know, the things that had been carried and not expressed. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, I'm aging or I'm dying. And what they hear from their loved ones is, no, you know, you're not dying. You're not aging. You're not. And I think that when we learn to sit with someone's fears and pains and hear them and listen, it gives him peace. And, you know, I'll tell you, I guess, you know, with my brother and my father, those were the most profound experiences for me.
Right.
And and that's exactly what my brother said to me. And, you know, he says, Marie, I was not a good man. And I didn't tell him he wasn't, or he was. I just listened. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I think no matter where you've been, you know, God was always there. And he closed his eyes, he rested a minute, and he wakes up, is just full of peace. You could see it. And he said, you know, just that, you give me such peace. But I think that's, you know, to me, that makes a difference, is that when you can, you know, sit with somebody and show that, you know, compassion and regard for, you know, their fears, what they think, and reflect, you know, love back.
Yeah, thank you. I got a couple more questions and we got to come to a close on this. Is there anything that you think we probably should not say to people that's dying?
I don't know. I don't know if that's like the right way to think about it. You know? Mm-hmm. I think we all do our best to show up, and you know, if you are with someone, I think sometimes even maybe you know, sometimes maybe there is something that comes up that, you know, needs to be said or expressed. It, you know, I wouldn't know what to say to that, except that, you know, when you come, you know, I guess really just to check yourself if you're coming from a place of love or fear and, you know.
Oh, okay. As we come to a conclusion, is there anything that you would like to say that we haven't said about this subject or anything?
I think death is something that is so uncomfortable for most people simply because, you know, we don't know how to sit with it or talk about it. But I think that, you know, the people that can, the people that do, I think it enriches their life. I think it enriches everyone's life when we can include death as a normal human event and embrace its gifts.
Well, Marie, I appreciate you being here today. This is it's still kind of a tough subject in our society. We all know it's coming. We don't know when, and so it's something that we shy away from to some degree. But hopefully, our conversation today has made a person at least lean into it more, or to accept it for what it is, which it's really, dying is really a part of living. It's a part of life.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Brian.
It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.